We'll be looking at John 6, and it'll be a fairly long verses, John 6, 30 to 71. We'll pray for the Spirit's guidance. Our Lord and our God, as we open your book of life, I just pray that you give us ears to hear what you would have us to take away from this portion of your written word. Give us hearts to understand. Give us the wisdom to live it out. Lord, I pray that you guard my mouth, that I represent you properly. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, John 6, starting in verse 71, and this is Jesus explaining, I think, the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. The lessons that he wanted the people to take away from that portion of Scripture, that great miracle, the feeding of 5,000. So they said to him, "And what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you what you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. When many of the disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at it. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus said to them, did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. You may be seated. You know, this is Jesus clarifying the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. You know, and that's what the miracles were intended to do. They're physical miracles, healing, feeding, that demonstrated or pointed to a greater spiritual truth. And that is exactly what the feeding of the 5,000 did. It pointed to the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ, the spiritual truth. And that's what we'll look at today. We'll look at some of the points. I know it was a long passage, but there was a lot of repetition, you know. And I wanted you to notice how many times Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am, I am. The great emphasis on who Jesus is stressed time and time again because of its importance. You know, the first point I want us to look at is that Jesus, God, is our provider. You know, from previous lessons, we studied how Jesus is the giver of life and spiritual life. But God is also our provider. This great crowd was in need of food. Jesus gave them their physical food that they needed. Just the right amount. No waste. But you know, he does that. It points to how God is our continual provider. Look at this earth we have around us, the variety of foods we have around us. Just driving here, I see corn plants, supposed to be, what, knee-high by the 4th of July, a lot of it's head-high. But worldwide, the different foods, the variety, the different climates that it grows in. Our God is a bountiful, bountiful provider for us, his creation. And it goes on continually. You know, it's a demonstration of his love. And it tells us in 1 Timothy 4:4, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. You know, God gives us this variety of things to eat and drink. And all he requires is that we're thankful and acknowledge that he is the giver of this food. You know, whenever I go to Mexico or Panama, I see fruits that I've never seen before. Some that you won't ever see in the store because they're too fragile, too delicate to ship or to send. But it's the variety of foods worldwide that different people eat. Now, if we were in Ecuador, the national meal of Ecuador is a guinea pig. So maybe if you guys want to experiment, you can try that. But you know, the thing is, if they receive it with thanksgiving, it's good. Somebody must have a guinea pig here. But you know, the thing is, God has provided so bountifully, and it's out of his love. You know, we do see hunger in the world. However, that does not negate the goodness of God. God created everything good. But sin has caused all of creation to groan. So even creation cannot live up to its full potential but it's because of sin. It's just like we can't live up to our full potential because we are tainted by sin. And many times, hunger is caused by the sin of men. By the sin of men. A prime example of this is the government of Venezuela. Venezuela was one of the richest nations in South America, if not the richest, the most advanced, when it had more of a free market, an oil-rich nation. But the socialists, the communists took over. They took over all the assets, all the businesses, all the farms. And now we see the people starving. But it's sin, it's greed, it's control, it's sin that causes much of the starvation in the world. Peter Hammond, one of the missionaries, or one of the, he's an author from in Africa, there's a lot of work in there. He said, Africa could feed the world. The land is so fertile. But because all the strife and political strife, it never reaches its full potential. Our God is a bountiful God, and it's for believer and non-believer. But sin is the cause of the problem of food shortages and starvation. The second point I'd like us to consider is the pre-existence of the bread of heaven. Jesus refers to himself many times as the bread of heaven sent by God. You know, it tells us in verse 32, Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. You know, this is an essential truth of Christianity. Jesus Christ always existed. He was with God. He was sent from God. He wasn't born. He wasn't created on that Christmas morning. He was just given an earthly body for our benefit to live among his creation. You know, John made this clear in the first verse of his book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. It goes on, all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus affirms that he is equal to God. He is God. When he starts using the words, I am, I am, I am. Now that comes from Exodus 3:14, when Moses said, when God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. You know, the Jews got this when Jesus was saying that I am the bread of life. I am. They knew he was equating himself with God. They knew that he was declaring himself to be God. And that's for our benefit as well. Jesus is God. That's one of the pillars of the Christian faith. We must realize that Jesus is part of the triune God. He always has existed, always has been here. That's why many of the false religions, that's one of the things they try to do, is try to bring Jesus down to a level where he is not God. But here it is clearly given to us that Jesus is part of the triune God. It's for our benefit that he came down and lived among us. And we know now he also has ascended. He is there back where he started from in heaven, ruling, but giving us power. You know, but he was sent from the Father. Jesus said to him, if God were your Father, you would have loved me, for I came from God, and here I am. I came not on my own accord, but he sent me. You know, and isn't that a beautiful thing? The harmony of the Trinity. The working of God the Father and the Son. Sending Jesus on our behalf. You know, it tells us, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God. That's in John 13:3. So he's coming from God, going back to God. But you know, it's such a beautiful plan, because we're part of that plan. A plan that was done and put in place before we were ever created. God's elect. It's part of God's plan. You know, we're not here by accident. It's just amazing how God loved us. You know, you're here because it's part of God's plan. You're part of His elect. Just think about that. No accident. You're here because of a divine plan to advance God's church at this time in history. And strictly because He loved you. He loved you. You know, and the third lesson we receive from this miracle is the purpose. The purpose that God sent His Son. It tells us, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. You know, the ultimate purpose is eternal life with our God. For all believers, all true believers, that's already achieved, even when we're on this side of eternity. But that was the purpose that God sent the bread of life, Jesus, into this world. It's amazing. It's amazing how much God loves us. But you know, He uses us now because Jesus is ruling now. Yes, we have attained that greatest gift of all, eternal life. But we also have the greatest responsibility of men here, representing our God to other people, being participants in the building of His church. Can there be any greater blessing on this side of eternity? You know, the Father loves us. We will be raised up. But we already have been transformed into the body of Christ. Our comfort comes from knowing that we are part of that eternal plan. You know, it's amazing. The God who created this beautiful earth is using us. Is using us. But you know, Jesus, He receives the saints from the Father. He also keeps them safe in this life, and He raises them up in the last day. However, it is the Father that draws them to Jesus. It is the Father who places us in the loving care of His Son. So we see the harmony of the Trinity there. But you know, isn't it amazing? Jesus is the giver of life. But it's the Father's plan that we're here. It's the Father's plan that we have received eternal life. You know, this unity of the Trinity is in chapter 17 in Jesus' priestly prayer. It's just a beautiful meshing of God and the Son. Tells us, starting in verse 6, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost. We have been given to Jesus from God the Father. Our lives were planned out before the beginning of time. We were placed in the loving hands and care of Jesus Christ, who brings us to the knowledge of his Father, and that is where we will return. But did you notice, it tells, I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Do you realize how blessed we are? Jesus Christ is praying for us, his elect. What greater blessing can there be than to be loved by God so much that his Son is praying for us even now as we sit here? Now again, in all this explaining that Jesus has done after the miracle, is to lead the people to this spiritual truth, these spiritual truths of who he is, what he has done for them, what his Father has done for them, so that they might have life and have life abundantly. But we have a union with the Father and the Son. And that is what empowers us to do things far beyond our own capabilities, far beyond what we would ever think we could do. In Galatians 2:20, it tells us, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Christ living within us. And in John 14:8, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. Whoever has my commandment and keeps them, he it is whom loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. That is Jesus Christ. It is part of the Godhead living within us. That's part of the blessing of this bread who came down from heaven, who is Jesus Christ. When he ascended into heaven, he left his Spirit within us to strengthen us and to carry us through these difficult days here on earth, to be his witnesses. We truly are blessed. We truly are privileged. Now, did we do anything to gain that privilege? You know, we are commanded to come to Jesus. But verse 35 tells us, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. That is, we must seek him. We must look at him and his words, which lead to eternal life. However, that seeking is initiated from the Father. Tells us all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. It's all that the Father gives me will come to me. You have been given to Jesus Christ. You have been given to His church by the Father. That has to make you feel important. It makes me feel important. That it was God who elected, for whatever reason, us, and given us eternal life, given us the will to come to Jesus, to follow Jesus, to seek Him out. So it tells us we are to look upon Jesus, we are to gaze upon Jesus. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. We are to look closely. We are to gaze at Jesus. We are to learn from Jesus. We are to learn from His life. And the metaphor Jesus uses for this, we are to eat His flesh. We are to take Him in. We are to drink His blood. Because it is His words of truth, His words about Himself, who He is, that is the leads us to eternal life. In verse 53, Jesus tells us, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." Again, the flesh we are to eat is His body. We are to learn from Him, to learn about Him, to realize who He is. That is what He was trying to tell the Jews. "It is my flesh that came down to heaven for you. Take me in. Let me educate you to eternal life." And the blood, they had to believe in the sacrifice He would do, that He was a suffering Messiah. They had to take that part in. They had to look beyond what they were taught of this glorious Messiah who would be a political figure and take over and rule now. We know what our Lord did. He suffered and died. And when we drink that blood, it means we believe what He did, that His blood atonement was for our sins out of His love. It's amazing how many fundamental truths John touches in these verses. These are fundamental truths of the Christian faith. And it tells us many walked away. Many of them walked away. When many of His disciples heard it, they said, "This is hard. This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" After this, many of His disciples turned back and no longer walked with Him. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it is that they were hearing the same message, they were seeing the same miracles, they were watching the same Jesus, yet many walked away? Many said, "This is too hard. This isn't what we expected." Verse 63 gives us the answer. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." The Spirit gives life. God gives life. We can only come to God when God calls us or draws us. Those others did not have the wisdom to interpret what Jesus was saying because they did not have the Spirit within them. The only reason you sit here as believers is because the Holy Spirit has given you that wisdom to understand the words of God. The flesh is no help at all. It can't get any blunter than that. It's not what we seek. We only seek because somebody has sought us first. I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. We sit here today because it was granted by the Father for us to believe. Those should be the greatest words of encouragement for stepping out in faith and representing our God to this world that the Bible has. You have been loved by God. You have been chosen by God to live at this point of time, to live in this area, born to the parents you were born, come to faith because it was the will of God. Is because God wants to use you to advance His kingdom, to advance His church. We have the best calling in the world, the greatest responsibility in the world. But you know, I read earlier where it tells us that we will do greater things even than these. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to do these things. Will we ever be up for the job? No. But the Holy Spirit uses our feeble efforts. He uses our prayers like we had in this service earlier to advance His kingdom through blessings to others, praying out for people we don't even know, that God gives them the strength to go through difficult times. We are advancing His kingdom. It is because God has placed you and I here, and His church will advance. The gates of hell will not prevail against it, and we are part of that right now. Because God is sitting in power at the right hand of the Father. And the more we realize that, and the more we realize that it's about God and Him doing things through us, the greater achievements we will see. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, You are a loving God. We must love You because You first loved us. Teach us to love You more and more. Teach us to advance in our Christian faith through the study of Your Word. Mature this church, Lord. Mature us as individuals. Lord, I pray that You advance Your kingdom through us. In Jesus' name, amen.